We'll be looking at Genesis 17 today as we continue our study looking at the life of Abram. Some 14 years had passed since God last spoke to Abraham. Not since his disobedience in the matter of Hagar had Abraham heard the voice of God. The times of his silence are most devastating when they come our way. Silence from God. We need to learn that our disobedience almost always brings his silence. In this passage, the Lord speaks again. When he does, it is to reveal even more of the details of his covenant with Abram. Here we have the opportunity to learn more about the faithfulness and work of God. The faithfulness and work of God in the lives of his people. This passage allows us to catch a glimpse of the God of the everlasting covenant. As we look into the details of this passage, may we take this opportunity to learn more about the faithful God, the covenant-keeping God that we serve. May we be reminded that he is a God who keeps his word and works out his will according to the counsel of his own will. We find that in Ephesians 1, verse 11. We see in verse 1 a revelation of God's person. Genesis 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. This is the first time that God reveals himself as the Almighty God. This name is from the Hebrew name El Shaddai. It carries the idea of nourisher, strengthener, satisfier. It reveals the God who nourishes us, strengthens us, and satisfies us. It identifies God as being the all-sufficient one. There is a tenderness in this name because the word Shaddai comes from the Hebrew word for breast. Just as a baby receives strength and nourishment from its mother's breast, so the children of God receive all they need from the hand of the Almighty God. Because God is the Almighty God, he demands that his people walk before him in perfection. This is a command in our text to walk in righteousness and holiness before him. God tells us in 1 Peter 1, verse 16, well, look at verse 15 also, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Our text says in Genesis that Abram is to walk perfectly before the Lord. He is to walk perfectly before the Lord. God simply reminds Abram in our text today of the promises that he has made to him in the past. We see this in verses 2 through 4 of our text. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. God simply reminds Abram of the promises that he has made to him in the past. God will make of him a great nation, and he will bless him. God's revelation and reminder causes Abram to fall at his feet in worship. The promises of God cause you to fall at your feet and worship God. I would to God that the Lord's people would see His blessings as catalysts to worship and to praise Him. In verse 4 of Genesis 15, we see the words, "As for me." That indicates that this covenant from God is one-sided. God will bless Abram because He wants to. Because God simply wants to. The electing love of Almighty God. In other words, the covenant is good because it depends on God and not man. Thank God that our salvation is in His hands and not ours. 1 Peter 1 verse 5 tells us, "We who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." We are kept by the power of Almighty God. That's His promise to us, brothers and sisters. That should nourish you, strengthen you, satisfy you. The Almighty God has promised that we are kept by His power through faith unto salvation. What a glorious promise. In verse 5, Abram receives his name change. "Neither shall thy name any more be Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee." Abram gets his name changed. His name is changed from Abram, which means exalted father. Imagine, this was the man who had no children, except for Ishmael with his little debacle with Hagar. His name is changed from Abram, which means exalted father, to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. The reason for this lies in the fact that God has made Abraham the father of a numberless multitude. Of course, to Abraham it does not appear that this is the case. However, from God's perspective, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. Notice the words, "I have made thee." Even though Abraham couldn't see it, God had already completed His plan through Abraham. We must remember that life is never like we think that it is. All we can see are the obstacles and the trials that we face in life. However, God sees our present as well as the future that He has already accomplished. Whatever takes place in your life, brothers and sisters, in God's mind, it has been accomplished already. He has decreed it from eternity past. The essence of faith is merely walking in the present, holding in your hands the things that God has placed already in the future. That's what Hebrews 11:1 is all about. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. That is what faith embraces, the things that are not seen. But you know you shall see them, for God has promised. Christ promised you, "Behold, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and I will come back to get you and take you to that place. And in that day, you shall see me as I am. You shall be with me." Whatever, brothers and sisters, whatever you may be facing today, God has already taken care of it for you. You merely have to be patient. And by faith, wait until it arrives at the time that God has decreed. No wonder Abraham worshipped the Lord. If we ever get a grip on all that He has done for us, we too would glorify Him in praise and adoration and in worship. Back to our text in Genesis 17, verse 6. "And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee." God promises not only to bless Abraham, but his children, and all the generations of Abraham's seed as well. This is a covenant that is as good as the name of God, and that will endure as long as God endures, and God endures forever. Thank God that we can count on His faithfulness. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Not your faithfulness, God's faithfulness. God will fulfill His promises. Thank God that He is faithful and true, that He will not renege on His promises. He will not fail us. We may fall short, but He never will, for He is ever faithful. His mercies are new every day. God promises to be a personal God to the seed of Abraham. And if you're a child of God, you are of the seed of Abraham. Brothers and sisters, it is a blessing to serve a God who desires a personal relationship with the likes of you and me. I praise His name that my walk with Him does not hinge on what I do. It is personal and it is everlasting. What a blessing. In verses 15 to 22, we find God's promise to Abram is extended to Sarai also. She is to have this child of promise, and she is to be the mother of multitudes. Her name is changed from Sarai, which means my princess, to Sarah, which means princess. When Abraham hears this, he laughs. It's not a laugh of doubt, but of joy at what the Lord is about to do in his life. He is so excited thinking about the power of God that his prayers to God to bless Abraham also. He's thinking about the power of God. And he prays in our text for God to bless Ishmael also. This prayer is heard and answered by the Lord. Here is a man who was looking at a bleak future when the day began. Maybe that's you today. You look at your future and it looks bleak. But Abraham's life changed in a day, in a moment of time. You never know what the Lord has lying ahead for you. Now, he's thrilled by the possibilities. He wakes up, there's a bleak future. Now he's thrilled by the possibilities. I just want to remind us this day that no cause is hopeless when it involves the Lord. Your future is as bright as the size of your faith. Increase our faith, Father. When we involve God in the situations of our lives, the impossible becomes immediately possible. You see that in John 6, when Christ feeds the multitudes. The day had started out, it didn't look too good to feed thousands of people. But yet Christ fed the multitude. Remember, the God we serve holds today and tomorrow in His hands, and He is greater than both. Greater than both. In verses 9 through 11 of our text, Abraham and all his descendants are required to be circumcised. Required to be circumcised. Verses 9 through 11 of Genesis 17. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. Me and you. We have Abraham and all his descendants. They're required to be circumcised. They were to be identified as followers of the Lord by a mark in their bodies. Submitting to circumcision was a statement that this person is a part of the Abrahamic covenant and the promises of God are his. This mark was both painful and private. Whether anyone else knew of it or not, the person circumcised and the Lord certainly knew about it. But let me remind you, we're not in the old covenant. We're not living in the old covenant. We're living in the new covenant. Behold, all things are new. We're in the new covenant. And you and I are not required to do this to be followers of the Lord today. The New Testament speaks of circumcision of the heart. A circumcision of the heart that must be performed before a person can enter into a personal relationship with Almighty God. Look at Romans 2, verses 28 and 29. Very, very important. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Not of men, but of God. A spiritual circumcision is required for anyone that would be a child of God in the New Testament. Every male in the nation of Israel, whether they were young or old, bond or free, they were required to observe this rite if they were to be allowed to be a part of this covenant of promise. In the New Testament, it simply says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. That covenant of promise in the Old Testament, without it, you were left out. While physical circumcision is not required for a relationship with the Lord today in the New Testament, spiritual circumcision is. Without it, not a person can ever hope to enter the presence of God or to go to heaven when they die. That's what John 3:3 is all about. A man must be born again, or he cannot see the kingdom of God. God's perfect, precious plan of salvation requires a heart to be circumcised. It requires regeneration. It requires being born again. It requires God giving you a new heart, granting you repentance and faith. Back to our text, verses 23 to 27. Without being circumcised, no one could enter into this covenant relationship with the Lord. They were to be cut off from the people. They were out of the covenant. As has already been said, spiritual circumcision is necessary for a relationship with God. And this is accomplished only through coming to Jesus Christ by faith. Many in our day think that rituals are still how one approaches God, that I partake of certain sacraments, that I must be baptized to be saved. Baptism, immersion in water, baptism is done by a child of God. He is baptized after he becomes a child of God. It doesn't make you a child of God. Just look at the thief on the cross that day that he cried out when he was dying, then he cried out to the Lord, have mercy on me. I mean, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Christ said to him, today you shall be in paradise with me. That thief certainly didn't get down from the cross and get baptized. He certainly didn't partake of the Lord's Supper. He certainly hadn't done any good works. He hadn't done nothing but simply cried out to the Lord to have mercy. Rituals will not save you. Your parents will not save you. Your creeds, your covenant, they will not save you. Your confessions, your creeds, some priest, some organization, some denomination will never save you. It's only by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It takes faith to please God, even as Abraham had faith. We in the new covenant, we repent of our sins and we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we say, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that is not of yourself. Not of yourself. It takes faith to please God. It always has and it always will. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that chapter 11 has been called the Hall of Faith. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, by faith. By faith, over and over and over. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Moses. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, Rahab. By faith, Gideon, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. By faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. It took faith to follow God and carry out his commands, which Abraham did without hesitation. Have you listened, you who have listened today, have you experienced that spiritual circumcision that forever changes your life and your destination? If you never come to Jesus Christ, you have never had that spiritual circumcision. You have never been born again. You have never been regenerate. You have never become a child of God. For you must come to Christ by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whosoever will, come. Come. He that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Wages of sin, death. Gift of God, eternal life. It is a gift, just as he gave Abraham the gift. Have you experienced that spiritual circumcision, my friend? That is the question before us today. And if you are a child, you are a child of God. God Almighty, El Shaddai, is your nourisher. He is your strengthener. He is your satisfier. He is the one that will fulfill all of the promises that have been made in the scripture for you and for I, for you and for me. He is the Almighty God, the nourisher, the strengthener, and a satisfier. As I said earlier, no wonder Abraham worshiped the Lord. If we ever get a grip on all that he has done for us, we too, brothers and sisters, would glorify God in praise, adoration, and worship. Come to Christ today. Look unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. And if you look onto him, and if you get a grip on all that God has done for you, you shall glorify him in praise, adoration, and worship.